You're right, Paul, they're difficult days. Difficult times. Well, you know, I find these things. People that are committed to its well-being. The core of people that are committed to its growth and its future. The core of people, and that's the people, not of a person. So we all have to take a responsibility there, and as Pastor Colin said to his family as he was dying, that he was saying that one night, take the banner. The generation to take hold of the banner for the future, to let go. I'm not going to be your pastor indefinitely. I did find I was talking during this difficult time at the beginning of their service about driving out from Worthing. I used to actually drive down from Surrey to Southwick when I was younger as well, from Addleston in Surrey, near Newport, down to Southwick. I did that for several years. It's easier when you're younger. But what is lovely, and I also travelled extensively for a while, all over the place, teaching on prayer. And holding seminars and workshops and what have you. And the bit I found about the blessing, and it was this morning, strangely, I couldn't quite prepare for what happened, but it's being able to meet with the Lord in the car on a long journey. So normally, otherwise, when I used to go to the corner from the church in Norfolk, you'd find that I'd walk around and you don't really get any time to pray, and then people are at me all the time wanting, is this working, is that working, or whatever. Whereas if an hour in the car, in fact 50 minutes now, I don't know if I'm driving too fast, but whatever, it's really very beneficial. You can pray, you can listen, and I find the Lord says all sorts of things to me in that car. Has anyone else had that experience sometimes if you're on your own in the car? It's lovely, isn't it? And for me as a pastor, Sundays, whoever ministers here, you must give them space and you need to protect them. When I was in Norfolk, all my elders would gather around so that, particularly after service, which is you've given everything out. If any of you have ever preached, don't you found that, Joanna, when you preach, you feel exhausted at the end of it, spiritually, physically, but actually mentally. It's awful. Tony's preached as well, Wayne's preached as well, and if you ever have done, it's a very tiring thing. And that is when you're particularly vulnerable to attack. So it's good to look after, or if you've got an issue, like any preachers that we have in Mari next week, for instance, look after them at the end. Particularly, because we can't tell you how tired. I don't have the same conversation going home in the car as I do coming. Because I'm sort of, oh Lord, I'm a bit cracked really. Because you see, all of us, including our Saviour, bring what we bring in human form. With the strengths and the weaknesses that we possess. Don't we? That's how it is. But, just a reflection of some of God's words as well. But something I'd like to say to you, that Baptists are very poor at, that Pastor Colin insisted upon, and with all his leaders, was honour and respect for those that serve. Actually, honour and respect, even if you don't agree with them. It's not a free-for-all. And so it's important. I won't be here forever. I'm getting the time I need to think about retiring. And I will retire. In the not too foreseeable future. And we're not good at honouring those that minister. To honour, you just honour Pastor Colin, and he honoured all those around him. I found that very useful with my friend John Bridger. We talked about him at the back as well. And the ministers that he associated with honoured each other. Even honoured me. I was the least among them, really. But it's important that we understand as you move forward. And that's why I've also asked people to honour each other. as by wearing a face covering in church. And Christian, you have to say, and I think that's quite right. We don't have to wear them. When you came to my house, I didn't insist that you did. But when we're all together in a badly ventilated room, the windows only open that much, and if we open the door in the winter, we're all going to freeze to death, so we have to supply them with blankets, I think, or duvets, probably. It's about respecting each other, isn't it? That's at the heart. Respect finds its origins in the word love. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, to love your neighbour. And you see, it's easy sometimes to love the people on the fringe, but it's much more difficult to love those in the middle that we see a lot. It's important that we do. So we love those that work with the children. And we love those that serve the team. Well, where's my team? I can't tell you how many times I've seen that happen, not here, because I think Paul has got it out there. But to honour and respect each other, and we live in a world where people, teachers aren't honoured. We don't honour and respect anybody very much in this world, but we could be a counter-culture for that. And I'm so grateful indeed for my time with Pastor Colin and others at Kingdom Faith, where the love and respect that was shown, even when you didn't agree, was paramount. And if I could leave you with a thought like that, that's important. Because the scripture this morning helps us understand how God honours and respects us, actually. And we're going to read from Isaiah chapter 43. We never did quite finish Isaiah, Paul. Who knows if we will or won't. But Isaiah chapter 43. You can find me a glass of water, Paul. Thank you very much. There's so much in this one verse. I'm only going to read three verses, and God willing, Sunday week, we've got Mari next week, she's going to be coming on the third Sunday of the month at the moment. Some sort of horns being moved around some sort of eternal chessboard, God versus evil. And we've not been summoned or just called, a general call to arms, you know, your country needs you. Who? You. Who? We're not being called just to have a number, like military personnel do, you know, where it's, if you get a, is it a TAC number? So, what's your, who are you? I'm number 157/496205, which is an identification. But God hasn't called us like that. We're not some, just being summed up in masses. God has called us to fight in his battle. Not just with a TAC number, no. He knows you and me, and he calls you and me by name. By name. He calls me when I'm in the car driving, I hear him a lot say, Brian, my son. Maybe pray for you hearing that? Teresa, my daughter. Jackie, my daughter. Tony, my son. And you know, it's good to listen for that. To hear him call you by name. You might not be much for when you. You hear him calling you by name. Then he said, have you put in your sermon about Jesus saying he knows his sheep by name? I haven't. But I do remember, I think I probably said to you, being in Greece, visiting missionaries who were working with Muslims, actually, in northern Greece, watching, we were by a huge cliff, and there was sheep at the top, and there was a man on a hill here calling in Greek, and he's shouting at them. There's no dog. Oh, his glasses. There's no dog nipping at their thing. There's no whistles for a dog. Each sheep is known by that shepherd, and he's calling them. And I watched, and the head light said, he's calling them down. And I watched them negotiate their way down the side of this cliff, bit by bit, the whole lot of them. And he was calling them by name. Jesus knows us by name. And we're special and precious to him, amen? And so, Lynn, I can tell her now, you can tell her, or reads my WhatsApps as well now, so you can, you know, tell her that I put that bit in. He knows me, Brian, and you by name. And in God's grace, he's marked Brian out, you out, he's marked us out. And he marked us out, you know, before we were actually born. What's Psalm 139 say? He knew us.
Before he joined us in the womb.
Yeah, before in the womb, absolutely. So before I even took a natural breath out there, you know, God knew me. I find that even more interesting because my mum was ill. Actually, she'd been ill with, she'd had a breakdown and she'd been in hospital for 2 years, and then they let her out, and I appear on the scene soon after. Well, not, you know, not while she was in hospital, but, you know, soon afterwards. But when she was pregnant, back then those questions were, should you keep the baby? Should I tell you, God marked me out as well, in my mother's womb, and he marked each and every one of us out, and called us in our mother's womb.
Amen.
And we're safe. I'm not making any further comments on that, and let's not go on a side journey into abortion, but I say that, praise God that I was saved from that by the grace of God. I bet you've learned something this morning, but things that I always share. But you've got a path we will very tight on your sleeve, isn't it? Not just doing it for a job. Don't just do it for the money. Because we're here to serve the one who's called us. He's called us. He's chosen us. I believe he's named us. God knew we were before the creation of the world. You think your parents named you, but I think, oh, we think we were called this and this, actually. for a minute now about this whole idea of a name. Of a name, because we just think, oh, it's a name ceremony, it's whatever it is. But actually, a name is important. Now, if I said to you or not, but my son was never very good at school. And I used to dread the letter or the phone call, can you come and see the teacher, please, the head teacher. He did some terrible things at times. I don't know where he got it from. But he must have got it much running in the pants, probably. You wouldn't have liked to have talked to Tony at that thing, but I think that would have been a real pain. And believe me, my son was. So I went to the school, and it was difficult because I used to go and do assemblies or RE lessons, and then I'm called in at the other end, standing outside the headmaster's study, being called in to see some tutor of his. And the head teacher said, Reverend Bradard, you know Mr. Payne? I didn't know Mr. Payne, actually. Mr. Payne. Didn't know him. I knew the RE teacher by name. But I didn't know Mr. Payne at all. And people that we call often by their surname, we don't know very well, do we? It's a thing, isn't it? But people that we're on first name terms with, we know much better. And the good news is then that God works on that principle. We inherited that from God. He doesn't call me Mr. Pickard. He doesn't call me 4702 either, but he calls me Brian. And he calls you. Do you remember that?
No, he called me
Truce. Oh, well, that's good. I don't get upset. Well, you know, because it's intimate.
Thank you.
It's intimate. It's more than just knowing, it's an intimacy with God. That's what I want to say, really. You see, because by faith, it moves on very nicely what I've got here. By faith, you see, in Christ, we're called into a deep, deep personal relationship with Himself, with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit. We're not just saved, we're called into a relationship that's deep and meaningful. It's a relationship, not a religion. It's not just following a set of rules. And now the Bible is full of God knowing such people personally, isn't it? Adam, who actually is called Dusty, because he's made from the dust of the earth. That's what the Hebrew name means. Jacob, well, we'll come on to him in a minute because he's mentioned down here. There's Dave, or sorry, King David, bless him, you know, who people wouldn't look at. Who God calls Dave? Probably. Pete. Or if you called him Rocky. Peter. Who Jesus actually changed his name. Thomas. Tom. And of course, Paul, whose name was changed as well, and lots of others. God, they're recorded like that in the scripture as well. And this God knowing our name implies so much more. As we understand God's name, or rather as we understand that we're known by name, we have a God who isn't just called God or Lord, but He revealed His name right back when. It's where we get that I am name. I am. I am who I am. I will be who I will be. I am. And we think it's translated Yahweh, but we don't know. It's badly translated Jehovah. We think it's Yahweh. And such a fearful name for the Jews, that's why they had to come up with other names for him, because they wouldn't use it. But that's his name. And he did reveal his name to us, and that's what Jesus does. 7 times, I think, in John. I am the good shepherd who knows you by name. I'm the door and the gate. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He is one. Knows us intimately because He's revealed But you see, in certain cultures, a name is so much more than just, oh, we joked that is an article, we thought that was an article, that's the latest name at the moment. A name says something about the person's character and their nature. So we read here, stay with me if you will, that this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. Now they're the same person who's been transformed. That a name, he's named Jacob. Why? We know why. He's a Sunday story. He was a grabber. He was grabbing hold of his brother's leg as he was born, not wanting to be left behind. And the name means literally grabber. And that's what he did in his life. He was named appropriately, wasn't he? He tried to grab the inheritance from his brother Esau, didn't he? You know, he was cunning, he was deceiving. But if you live like that, rest assured you'll meet somebody else like it, because his future father-in-law was just as much a grabber and a cheat and that. He grabbed on and grabbed hold of things. In fact, there's a story I'd love to do Jacob another time, if another time prevails, of him fighting with God. And he grabs hold of God and he will not let him go. He's by nature a grabber. But that's a very positive thing. I'll come on to that another time. But there it wasn't. The negative side of it, his nature and his character is named after that. But the good news and the grace of God, the good news is, the very next verse in here, it says, who formed you? You were created. You were born like that. You were born a grabber, but you've been formed into Israel. One who does battle with God, positively, one who battles for God, or better still, it can translate Israel as a prince with God. A prince with God. He turned from a grabber to a prince with God, or a prince for God. He'd been transformed over his lifetime, and it took Jacob a long time, but that's what God does with us, isn't it? He wants to turn Jacob's, in all of us, into Israel's. Jacob's into Israel's. And that takes time. And that, if I go back to my friend, Pastor Colin Earhart for a little while, that's what he tried to instill in people, the sense of importance of letting God change you. Not being content with putting up with stuff that's nonsense, but challenging it so it's changed. And that's what God is committed to. He's committed to changing us into princes and princesses, if you like, with God. From being grabbers, from living in our old lifestyle, to being something else. That's why I stand and talk to you, and I've preached for over the last 30 years. Because God took this brother, and this guy that he saved from oblivion, and put his spirit in, and called him to do something he never wanted to do. We've got to hold him to. And like some days and like today, they're in season and out of season, but still God's got. And he works with us as part of that. But you see, God is wanting to, wherever we are in life, wherever position you are, whatever you do. And that's where Pastor Colin was still at in his 9 days, wanting to know and become more like Jesus. To be formed or transformed into something else. Altogether more beautiful, altogether more useful. So I want to stop there. I'm not inclined to sing Andy Bevan already sung. Mm-hmm. You. Mm-hmm. And if we set men up on that, to think that they, we're all in the process of being, in faith in Jesus, transformed. Mm-hmm. I want to talk a bit more about that, if you'll let me, in a few minutes. massive level.
Yeah, it just, you know.
And you see, if we are serious with the Lord about wanting to transform us, we will want to come closer to Him. And in doing so, we become closer to one another. So naturally, people migrate into the centre. This is some teaching from Rick Warren, actually. People who have heard the good news of Jesus, that they are brothers, that they are born in this way, or self-centred, are drawn through faith in Christ and through repentance more and more to the centre of Jesus. More and more into the centre of what God's doing amongst His people, because it's not an isolated thing, because He's writing to the people of Israel. We're called by name, we know that we are His people. So it's important that we really do look after the centre of church life and not put all our efforts onto the outside bit first. Because naturally, the closer you get to Jesus, you will naturally be drawn outwards. And I think I'd want to say that we as a church have a very, very large fringe. It's an enormous fringe of all sorts of people. But unless you look after the core of the church, you will cease to function. Because the outside bit won't look after you. Only if you draw close to Jesus together are we equipped to be able to go outwards to the outpost together. And sometimes we have to sort of, however uncomfortable it is, recognise that's a fact. And we can get, the devil does, there's plenty of people that are needy out there, but unless you're strong in Jesus, we won't be able to move anywhere. And unless we're committed to getting closer to Him individually, but together as well, then we cease to function properly. I've just shared here online and here as well that I have deep concern for us as a church that we've stretched so far out there that we're not, and the important bit is, first of all, strengthen your innermost part so that you can be strong. That's what the Lord wants us to be strong in the world, to be bold and courageous. He's wanting, you see, and waiting for us, despite our background, despite our failures, and despite flawed character. He's always wanted, and he's always waiting for us to keep walking on that journey, to know him more, to turn, to repent, to turn around from self-centeredness. What do I want? I got nothing from church. I wanted this, I wanted that. And commit ourselves more closely to His kingdom and His kingship than ever before. That I will not be moved from this. And so we understand that's what God is calling us to. And that's what He's called us to. Then we can make sense of everything else. It doesn't matter if others drop off the edge. That's immaterial. Because, you see, He's wanting us to turn from self-centeredness and even religion. Jacob was awfully religious. If you read the story of Jacob, he does a deal with it at times. I'll give you 10% of my income if you look after me. And then he tries all sorts of deals with God over the years. And he's praying for protection. But it's just a form. He doesn't really know God until he has this, he grips hold of Him. And has this ignite battle. But I'll come back to that another time. You see, we are a new creation when we come to faith in Jesus. We are. We've been born out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. But we're still babies, aren't we? So we need to grow. We need to be fed. We're teenagers or toddlers and teenagers. We constantly need to be fed and equipped. But God takes us from our old state and creates in us something that wasn't there. And you know the word created comes from that little word bara in Hebrew, which means out of nothing. God takes the nothingness of our grabbing old life and transforms us into a new life. That's what God's given us in Jesus. Sometimes we don't recognise it. It's not patched up old guy. You would not have liked, if you don't like this one, you wouldn't have liked the old Brian, believe me, prior to him being changed by Jesus. And that's what he does. He's wanting to change, but we can't bring anything to it other than just our surrender and our love and affection to it. The old is gone, the scripture says, and the new has come. We're being formed and transformed to become more and more like Jesus. But sadly, you know, even sometimes when we're called by name, and we know we're called by name, you may have had an incredible experience of salvation or baptism or being filled with the Spirit, and we hear that voice. But sadly sometimes, I know for me, sadly even though I've been called by name, and the people of Israel that Isaiah was writing to have been called by name, we let the Lord down. We stop listening. We stop waiting. We stop wanting, and we migrate bit by bit away from him. Out from him. We let him down. And there are times, I don't know you feel this, you might try to be called by your old name than your new name, if you like. That our old name and our old nature can so easily take over. I've only alluded to that, but I might pick that up as well with Jacob a bit more. And it takes often it's a lifetime of learning, of changing, of getting to know God. In the good times, in the bad times, in season and out of season, when there's a storm, when there's a flood, when there's a fire, we learn bit by bit. It's dependent that we are, as this scripture says, peace. He hasn't made any mistake. He waits for us to respond. The Spirit of God nudges us to respond. Paul says, when we're faithless, God's nature, God's name requires him to be faithful. When I'm faithless, Paul says he's faithful because he can't deny the fact who he is. And God's nature, summed up in his name, is he's a faithful God through one generation to another. So this scripture says in verse 1, understand that God's made no mistake, right? No mistake with any one of you in this room. He's made no mistake in calling us by name. He doesn't make a mistake. And he's faithful to you and me, even when we're not. He says, if you haven't been, or you feel more on the edge than in the middle, fear not. Fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have brought you back. You are new. You are mine. The devil might have been weird, but a useless person you are. Other Christians might tell you how useless you are. Well, God never. And the more we get to love Jesus, the more we want to do that on. So wherever we are, wherever we're at, it's been an interesting morning this morning for us here. And it's an interesting season we're in, but challenge is always said in the change of plus. God is with us. God has called us. And he waits for us to draw near to him. Draw near to God. And he will draw near to you. Sometimes we just take some time out. And I know some of you do that. To take a day out with him. Half a day. And just don't wait and be with God. Because he refreshes us. He focuses us. That focuses our attention on him. None of that's an excuse for life's pressures and life's trials. And we have to work our way through those. But we do. And God is with us. So let's, as we've just sang out here, that's true, isn't it? Stand with me if you would, if you can. change occur. They're always the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we ask that you will continue your work, and that we will not resist you, and allow you to remake us, to transform us, to change us, to mould us, to become more and more like Jesus. And Lord, when we think about the things ahead of us, you know, he who called us by name is faithful. And he will do what he will do in their lives and in the life of his people, his church. So Lord, we commit ourselves to you this day. We ask your blessing on us. We pray your grace and your peace which passes all understanding to rest upon us now as we go into this fresh week. We pray your angels be sent to guard and protect us. And we pray that the gift of faith may well up in us, that we may know and believe in our deep innermost being, not with false presumption, but with truth, that you still are the one, the truth, and the life. Lord, bless us, we pray this day. Amen. We're going to take the offering here, if you're online and give you money in the bank. Bless you. Encourage us that we do need to maintain our regular giving to the Lord.